Okay, so do the realizations of impermanence, suffering, and non-self have to be, or are they supposed to be, intellectual? No, and in fact, in a sense, the experience of impermanent suffering and non-self is the absence, right? Because they're all negative aspects or negative characteristics. It's not like non-self comes out and hits you in the face. But what it is it's the giving up of the belief that something is permanent. It may come in your meditation that you intellectualize, or not exactly intellectualize, but the thought arises, wow, this is all impermanent. You know, this thought arises, kind of like a realization. But that's not the insight. That's not the moment of insight. It often follows, it's preceded by a moment of insight. The moment of insight is the seeing for yourself. For instance, in the case of impermanence, it's seeing something cease. And it's the continued realization or the continued observation of the cessation of phenomena. For suffering, it's seeing the the intolerability of the phenomena. Basically, in terms of seeing that the things you thought that were going to make you happy are not going to make you happy. You see them arising and ceasing. You lose the idea that they are sukha. So in a sense, it's giving up rather than it's giving up of a belief of the opposite characteristic. When you see things as they are, you give up the belief in permanence, in satisfaction, or that things can be pleasant. When you cling to something, that it can bring you happiness. And number three, giving up the idea that you can control. So we try to control our breath, like the stomach, for example. And so in the beginning, you're just going to keep controlling the stomach no matter what you do. Right? You'll be practicing rising, falling, and here you are forcing the breath at every in-breath, every out-breath, forcing the stomach. You start to see that you start to see that it's not really forcing the breath at all. There's this conception of the forcing it, but eventually what you'll see is that all you're doing is creating stress. You're not actually controlling the breath, you're just creating more stress. The breath is arising based, or the stomach is rising based on many causes, many conditions, only one of which is the mind. But the mind is responsible for creating stress, which is why when you try to control it, you just feel more and more terrible, more and more unpleasant, until finally you realize that it's not really, you can't just say, because, I mean, think about it. This is what we don't realize. If you could make it, if it was under your control, then why can't you just say, okay, my breath is just going to rise smoothly, it's going to fall smoothly, right? That's what we think we can do, but it's totally totally off the wall, this idea that we can do that, because it's totally unrelated to the facts. And eventually you realize this. So it's not intellectualizing like I just did. I just had you intellectualize and say, you know, as the Buddha did, well, if you could, then why can't you control it to be like this or like that? It's not like that at all. The realization is visceral. It's actually seeing the breath arise and cease on its own. And the clear perception of non-self is when you actually see like that. It actually appears to you that the body is moving on its own. It appears to you that thoughts are arising on their own. You're able to see this, and you're able to realize that really that's all there is phenomena arising and ceasing, and you give up any desire to control. The whole idea of control just goes out the window. And that's when you the realization of non-self. So the mind lets go. When the mind lets go, then there's freedom from suffering. That's how it should be.